It's always good to contemplate that. Well, happy Resurrection Sunday. This day over 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth rose from the dead. We celebrate this event of life overcoming death and creating a story of life for all of us. When that stone rolled away from the tomb, we have a representation of it up there. It opened the door for us for a whole new life. As we contemplate this today and this weekend, the challenge for all of us is embrace the story of open doors. Embrace the story of open doors. This morning we're going to be hearing the resurrection account from the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 10. And Judy Nichols is going to be reading that for us from the ESV. Judy?
Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
So as we consider this idea of embracing the story of open doors, we will look at four doors that open for us through the resurrection. First, the door of newness, the door of freedom, third, the door of wholeness, and last, the door of forgiveness. Let's first look at this, embrace the story of open doors to newness. The empty tomb opens the door to all sorts of newness. We no longer fear death because Jesus has overcome death. We know that if we are in Christ, we shall be resurrected on that last day. There are also many other new aspects of life that spring forth from the empty tomb. Luke 22:20 speaks of the new covenant or promise that is represented through the blood of Jesus that was shed for us on the cross. This new covenant is one that is based on what Christ has done for us rather than what we can do for God. It's a covenant of grace. John 13:34 speaks of a new commandment. So not only a new covenant, but a new commandment that encapsulates the whole desire of God. It's the command to love one another. We are able to keep this new commandment because we have been given a new heart through what Christ has done for us. Ephesians 2:14-15 speaks of God creating a new person so that we are no longer divided and we can come together and live in unity. God's mercies are new every morning. You know, I used to hate Mondays. Does anybody not like Mondays? But if God's mercies are new every morning, then Mondays are okay, right? We can enjoy Mondays now. And in his grace, we can realize that the past has been forgiven. I often will meet with Ray Nethery, and one thing, we often meet on Mondays, and we always close our time in prayer, and it's just a time where we say, "Lord, thank you for your mercies being new this week. Thank you for your mercies being new this day." I just love how there's so many ways that the seasons, you know, we have New Year's, we have all these things that point to the fact that every day is a new start. Every moment is new in Christ. The past can be forgiven. We can learn from it, but we are no longer bound by it. God's mercies are new every morning. We see this in the account of Jesus' disciples, how they left their nets to follow him. Matthew left his tax collector booth, He was probably making a lot of money from his dishonest work to go to a new life in Christ. So the question for you and I today is, how has the resurrection brought newness to your and my life? How has the resurrection brought newness to our life? I would encourage you, write that down. Ponder that today. What new thing is God doing? What new thing do you need to be reminded of? Do you approach each day with excitement or with dread? My hope is that because of the empty tomb, you could approach each new day with excitement and anticipation for what God has next for you. So second, not only does the resurrection open the doors to newness, it challenges us to embrace the story of open doors to freedom. Embrace the story of open doors to freedom. The biggest freedom that the door of the empty tomb brings to us is the freedom from the old covenant and seeking to be righteous through our own works. Paul talks about this in Galatians 5:1. He says this, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." In Acts 13:39, Paul says this, "By Jesus, everyone who believes is freed from everything which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." Romans 6:22 says that we have been set free from sin and its control. Think of the story of Paul, who, if anyone could have been saved by keeping the law, it would have been him. We've been studying in Philippians, and he said in Philippians, you know, "I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews," and he goes through his whole resume, quite an impressive resume, and he said, "I consider it all as trash compared to knowing Christ and what he has done for me." We are open to a door of freedom. Paul has done a 180, and his is a prime example of someone who has been set free and uses that freedom then to bless others. So the question is, what will we use our freedom for? What will we use this freedom in Christ that we have for? John Ortberg, in his book, All the Places to Go, writes this, "Your identity is defined by the problem you embrace. Tell me what your problem is, and I'll tell you who you are. People with small souls have small problems. How to make their life safer or more convenient. How to put an irritating neighbor in his or her place. How to make wrinkles less visible. How to cope with cranky coworkers or a lack of recognition. Small people are occupied by small problems. People who live with a largeness of soul, however, are occupied by large problems. How to end extreme poverty. How to stop sex trafficking. How to help at-risk children receive a great education. How to bring beauty and art to a city. How to advance God's kingdom in this world." So I want you to ask the person to your right, and I hope this doesn't cause any fights this morning, what's your problem? Yeah, what's your problem? Now, you don't have to necessarily tell that person, but I want you to be thinking about that. What is your problem? What's your problem? Hopefully, you might know what that problem is. Is it the irritating neighbor? Or is it something bigger? What problem are you devoting your energies to? What problem are you using your freedom to address? Is it something small that will end, or is it something eternal? God is giving you freedom for a reason, and it's not to indulge yourself and your sin nature. For what will you use the open door of freedom this year? We're challenged to embrace the story of open doors to newness and freedom, and thirdly, we're challenged to embrace the story of open doors to wholeness. Wholeness. The word shalom in Hebrew means peace. And this idea of peace in the Hebrew language is that of wholeness, of everything working together. When our bodies are at peace, those of us that have not had our bodies working correctly, anyone here? You know, as we get older, that starts to happen. When our body is at peace, everything's doing what it's supposed to do. There's shalom in our bodies. We long for that, right? When our families are at peace, every member is working together in harmony. Oh, for that to happen, right? Those of you that have young children, oh, for the peace, right? When our lives are at peace, we're in right relationship with God and we're in right relationship with others. The empty tomb here opens a way to peace with God and peace with others. We no longer need to prove our significance, but we find our significance in accepting what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Because of that, we can therefore seek to pour into others instead of expecting others to pour into us. We can become a source of life and blessing to our families and those around us. I'm reminded of the man who was possessed with many demons, the Gadarene demoniac that the Gospels speak of. Jesus came up to him. He was naked. He was running around cutting himself with stones. No one could restrain him. True wild man, right? And when Jesus cast the demons out of him, it says that he was clothed and in his right mind sitting before Jesus. Imagine the stark contrast. No peace, peace. And he said, Jesus, let me follow you. And Jesus said, no, I want you to stay here and tell the people of your land what has happened to you, what I have done for you. He would be a powerful testimony of wholeness, would he not? Completely broken, as much as you can imagine, being set free and made whole. So the question for us today is, will you use your peace to bring peace to others? Will you use the new wholeness that God gives you through the resurrection to bring wholeness to others' life? Are you living in peace? The resurrection opens the door for God to bring all aspects of our lives into peaceful alignment with Him and His purposes if we will let Him. So we've been looking at this idea of newness, of freedom, of wholeness, and finally we're going to consider the challenge to embrace the story of open doors to forgiveness. The cross and the resurrection open the door for forgiveness of sin. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:17, "And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." So in one sense, the cross was not enough. We needed the empty tomb. If Christ is not raised, then we are still in our sins. But praise be to God, He has been raised. He has been, the tomb is empty, and we are forgiven if we will accept what Christ has done for us on the cross. Through the resurrection, we have the amazing opportunity to have our slate wiped clean by Jesus' finished work on the cross. I'm reminded of various people who came to Jesus when Paul was in Philippi. There was the Philippian jailer and his whole family. There was Lydia, the rich merchant woman. There was the slave girl who was enslaved by an evil spirit. Each from very different parts of society, all brought together because of what Christ had done. Through the finished work of the cross, these people from diverse backgrounds were set free, forgiven, and brought together in a way nothing else could bring them together. So the question for you and I today is, have I accepted the forgiveness that God offers for me through what Jesus has done on the cross? Let me say that again. Have I accepted what Jesus has done for me? Have I accepted that forgiveness? And the second question is, have I given that forgiveness to others? Both of these questions matter a lot. Many people feel that what they have done with their lives is unforgivable by God. They say, when I get my life together, then I'll go to church. When I get my life together, then I'll get serious about God. And someone that says that does not really understand the gospel, because you and I can never get our lives together. We need a Savior. That's what a Savior is. Someone who rescues us from a situation from which we cannot rescue ourselves. So, again, have you asked Jesus to save you? Have you asked Jesus to rescue you from your situation? Well, today, my friend, is the day you could do that if you've not done that. But secondly, have you released others that have hurt you? Have you forgiven? Are you living a life free from the prison of unforgiveness? Because the Bible's very clear. It says to us, if we will not forgive others, we will not be forgiven. When we don't forgive others, I've said it to others before, it's like drinking poison and expecting it to kill the other person. It only hurts us. So if you are bound today in unforgiveness, it doesn't mean that you minimize what was done to you. Christ doesn't minimize our sins, but what he does is he pays the debt for them. He covers them, no matter how serious they are. There is no sin that he cannot cover. In the same way he's told us, in the same way I have forgiven you, you must forgive others. So in order to walk in freedom, in order to walk in newness, or in order to walk in wholeness, we need to let go and forgive others. We need to receive God's forgiveness. That is the foundation for all the rest of these open doors. Perhaps you've not experienced these open doors I'm describing today. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the door." He also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the open door that we have talked about this morning. An open door is of no use unless we choose to what? Walk through it. So today is a day you can choose to walk through the open door of Jesus, to ask him to save you, to ask him to forgive you, to ask him to make you whole, to ask him to make you new, to ask him to give you freedom. He is offering all those things if we will ask. So we're going to watch this song. It's by Glad, but it's a new version of the song by Glad called the Easter Song. And during this song, I'd like for you, if we could just lower the lights there in the back, if we could lower the lights, I'd like you just to contemplate these questions. Have I received the newness? Am I living in the freedom? Am I experiencing his wholeness? Have I received his forgiveness, and am I giving that to others? So let's just adopt a prayerful posture, and then I'll close us in prayer after this. Thank you. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for what we are reminded of this day, that you have risen, that the tomb is empty, the door is open for newness in you. The door is open for freedom. The door is open for wholeness and peace. And the door is open for forgiveness. Lord, we thank you so much. As we go forth today, help us to live in the light of these open doors and to go through them daily. In Jesus' name, amen.